Give Mary Lou a hand of praise for that awesome, sincere message from her heart. Well, we are running live around the world. And those that are here today that are listening live, Madeline, can you do me a favor? Grab my glasses. My glasses. Anywhere on my desk. And I got a verse here that I want to read, but I want to share. We spoke a series of a message about promise and how God laid out the promise and how we have, you know, angels that help us with our promise and where is the promise written. The promise is written on our heart. And not only is the promise written on our heart, but that promise is actually life. And not only is it life, it's eternal life. And not only is it eternal life, but it's also our salvation. Not only is it our salvation, but it's also our righteousness. Not our righteousness in the world, but our righteousness in God. Because when He formed us and created us, He created us with His promise. And when we can yield ourselves and follow the promise, and it leads us to a promise. It leads us to eternal life. It leads us to prosperity on this earth. It leads us. And I truly believe that promise in our heart never comes back void, nor does that promise ever let us down to the point where we live a life, an eternal life, for eternity. Thank you, sweetie. And so I want us to really begin to understand the importance of what a promise is and how important it is where it's our life. You know, we're so caught up with, I don't know, the carnality of the world. So much in the carnality, you know, things, material things, just caught up in, I want to say, garbage. Because even though we need these things, even though that, you know, it helps fill voids with inside of us, the promise is so important and it's so full of life. That's what fills us. That's what gives us the satisfaction of waking up every morning. That's what brings us to a peace and a joy and a righteousness, because the promise is inside the kingdom of God. And one of the things that I want us to begin to realize is that we're living an eternal life already. How many of us realize that we're living an eternal life right now? Most of us think that we have to die first before we enter into an eternal life. But we're living an eternal life now. We were once before eternal, weren't we? Think about it. Before we came to earth, were we not in the eternal life? So much alive and living that counsel, and it's proven in this book called the Bible, counsel in heaven voted for Jesus to come and said He's worthy. So I believe that counsel, as God creates us and He puts destiny in us, that the counsel of heaven is already placing us where we need to be. Time zones, you know, geographical locations, you know, the whole nine yards. I want us to open up our minds and open up our hearts so that we're not like adamant about life, and that we can have a broad perspective of why we're even here. You know, you and I and everybody out there tend to get so caught up in the carnal life. Think about, where are we at right now? Where are our thoughts right now? What are we heavy burdened and laden about? What are we striving for? Why are we like beat up? lost. Where are we at? How come we're focusing so much in this world in itself rather than just focusing on the will of God, focusing on the promise of God, focusing on the eternal life that has been given to us? Most people think eternal life is when we die and we go up into heaven and we fly around and sing songs all forever. And I'm an angel that floats around and sits at the throne room and stands before God and just forever and ever and ever and ever. That's not true. For an example, we had an eternal life before we came here. It was proven in Scripture. Council voted Jesus to come to be that lamb that was slain on the cross. Who's to say that you weren't one that was counseled and voted to come and fulfill a purpose here on this earth? No matter how small or how great you think it is, I believe that we were ordained to do things. Like Thomas Edison, the one who invented the light bulb. Okay? How many people saw that movie Concussion? How about that amazing man from Africa, I guess it was, who discovered, you know, the problem with, you know, that football with the head concussion thing and bringing up those diseases. I believe that everyone is appointed for something great. And that's our eternal life. That's our promise. Now, I want us to realize, so that you don't get so caught up in the daily hustle bustle thing, God has a great plan for you. I truly believe that this man over here, Dr. Feeney, now you're live now, Dr. Feeney, is going to be a great man in, and has been appointed by heaven to create medical breakthroughs, whether it's in technology or organizing, you know, patients and their records or whatever it might be, you know, how to handle the nervous systems and be able to put people out of pain and just certain types of treatments and alleviate most of the, you know, the drugs out there in the world and maybe just restore them by certain different ways of tweaking their bodies or what have you. But whatever it might be, it's going to be great. And in heaven, it has already been appointed. So don't get so caught up in this world and suffer so much in this world. Now, there are attacks, okay? Because darkness doesn't want you to fulfill the promises. Think about the promise that God gave to the Israelites and sent someone to lead them to the promise. And did they not come under attack and made them take longer to get to their promise while they were here on this earth? Not only did it take them longer, some of them and most of them in that generation couldn't fulfill the promise. They weren't allowed because of the severe attacks that they came under, and they didn't know how to fight the attacks. Listen, I don't blame them to act the way they did. If I was put in the desert and I had to walk a desert, believe me, I would be complaining too about how hot it is. And I would be complaining about not having anything to drink and food and all these other resources. And I want to go back where I had all that. I don't blame them. And I don't blame any of us here today or those that are listening being robbed by their promises because we have lack of knowledge. We have a lack of understanding. Now, I will blame you after you hear this message. Because if you're continuing to suffer and your promises are being robbed, well, I can't now not blame you because you can't say you've never heard. Okay, I'm going to tell you the attacks and the battles that we go through and what causes us from entering our promises. And some of us are big culprits of it if we are honest with our life and look at the way we live. We are going to really discover that our promises have been being robbed right from underneath our feet. Remember, darkness is like a thief in the night. It gets you while you're sleeping. You know, it's robbing you when you're not watching. And we have to learn how to watch. We have to learn. You know, there may be some that are listening to me that are saying, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm suffering because I just had some bad deals. I'm suffering because, you know, you just don't understand my pain. You just don't understand my life. I just had miserable, rotten people around me, and I was stuck in a pit, and I was grown up in a bad area. Well, sorry, you're wrong. I do understand, and all those are lies. How many of us have heard many, many success stories from individuals who basically had absolutely nothing and maybe lived in like pit holes and then was raised up in a realm of glory, of some type of success? Amen. So to say, I came from this geographical location where there's nothing around but cornfields, and you know, I was brought up in the most severe poverty life and never had anything, or I just was brought up around bad people and just never had my breakthrough. Well, right there is a tremendous attack on your life. I hope I can get you to change the way you're thinking, because there's a tremendous attack and you believed it. Now, there's some certain scripture verses in the Bible that I want to refer to about certain individuals, and one of them was Jesus. And, you know, he's an example of us knowing the Father and knowing the truth and knowing, you know, the glory. And I want to be able to bring us to that place of glory. Glory is really the fulfillment of the promises. Whether it's getting shot in war or persecuted without a cause, that's glory in heaven. And so look at Jesus. He fulfilled a promise in his heart. He was appointed from council. He was appointed from heaven. He fulfilled the promise, but it didn't look like glory, did it? Think about it. Hung on a cross, persecuted, whipped, the whole nine yards. But at the end, what did heaven put him? Where did heaven place him? King of glory. And his name is written forever and ever, King of glory. And I believe you too can be King of glory. It's just a matter of following the promise that's on your heart. And you don't know exactly what the promise is that's on your heart. It's that conviction. It's the anointing. I'm going to just say it real simple. It's the anointing. The anointing is the leading and the basis of your promise. And if you don't know what the anointing is your convictions, your unctions, your inspirations, your everything that makes you up of how you feel and the desires of your heart. Now, one of the biggest things that holds us from our promises. Now, I can sit here and talk about, you know, promises and how to, you know, where they lead us and how they work with us in the eternal realm. And that eternal realm is forever. So we're going to go through many dimensions, I believe, in our journey forever. You know, eternity is forever. It's ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And I believe that there are mirror images of earth. So if you look at the prayer that Jesus spoke, the disciples wanted to know how to pray. And I said earlier, how many of us pray? Prayer is so incredibly awesome. It's a power that is beyond our real comprehension. And I know a lot of us pray, but how many of us really pray? There are levels of prayer. There is the sweat, blood dripping prayers. And then there are prayers. Hi, God. Good morning. Thank you for this food. Amen. So there are many, many, many different levels of prayer. I hope by the end of this message, you will understand the sincerity of prayer. You'll understand the sincerity of asking God, and not only coming to the knowledge of asking God, but also coming to the knowledge of the angelic realm that God puts out for your prayer. And because you prayed, God answers. God answers your prayers. And he puts forth the angels to help you have that prayer answered. They comfort you. And the cool thing about it is, maybe when we leave this earth, we might be one of those angels that are going forth before God and answering others' prayers. I want you to get out of our ignorant thoughts of dying and then, around the throne room. We got jobs to do. We got jobs on this earth. We had jobs before this earth. We're going to have jobs after this earth. We have life. And that's an eternal life. What bothers me and what captures my heart is when I see so many just heavy burden laden, you know, in a place of severe pain because they're so consumed about their issue or problem on earth. It's not a problem. It's not an issue. We're making it an issue. We're making it a problem. And not only are we making it an issue and making it a problem, but we're giving power to the dark realm to kill, steal, and destroy what you're making an issue and a problem. I hope I can wake you up, because we are the cause of the robbing of our own promises and our own destinies. We are culprits because lack of knowledge, lack of understanding. I believe that I feel as though that God has called me to be a shepherd to lead everyone to eternal life, to lead us to a place with revelational knowledge, with this knowledge, with this knowledge, because without knowledge, what does the scripture say? We suffer and we are even destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Because of lack of knowledge. And I feel that if you're at a place where you don't think, or maybe you think you know everything, show me the fruit. Show me the fruit in your life, and then I will begin to maybe change the way I'm thinking. But when I don't see the fruit, I don't see peace. I don't see joy. I don't see happiness. I don't see the righteousness of God. Then I'm going to have to say, you need to hear this message. You really need to hear this message. I know in my life, because of the knowledge, I'm ever increasing more and more in the kingdom of God with peace and joy and righteousness. Even though storms are happening, like most people know my life, and they're probably saying, how can he actually sleep at night? Listen, my life is in him. And I'm not going to give any credit to the enemy and allow him to beat me up and steal from the promises. Now, I'm going to share with you how we can avoid getting beat up. How many of us want to know how to not get beat up? How many of us want to know really sincerely how to avoid our promises being robbed? Because your promise is a yes and amen. It will take place or you'll never see it. Okay? And this is the part where we're at. I want your promises to be fulfilled. I never ever want to see you in a place where your promises, you never get to see it. I can't sit here and say that you don't have any promises. You have promises. The question is, will you see it? I want you to see it. and I want you to live it. The forefathers in the past, because they didn't have the knowledge, they saw the promise, but they were never able to obtain it. The reason why they weren't able to obtain it is because they didn't have the knowledge of what was robbing it, what was stealing it, what was killing it, what was destroying it. How many of us want to be set free from that? I'm telling you, my life is driven in this area of being set free from the thief, from being set free from the robber. What's really horrible is when you have a vision and you have a dream and you have an unction, you have an anointing, and then yet darkness steals it because we just don't know how to fight it. We just don't have the understanding of how to avoid getting it stolen, how to get it robbed, how to stop the thief from robbing us. Now you have to understand, this is all done in the realm of the Spirit. So we have to put our heart and our eyes in the realm of the Spirit. Now, on earth, we can prepare ourselves. We can put alarm systems up. You know, we can maybe put better locks on our doors, stay up all night with a gun, with a shotgun. You know, we could do some many, many things, okay, on this earth to help avoid it. And the funny thing is they still tend to work their way in. Has any of us ever been robbed before? Good. So you know what it feels like, right? In the natural, to be taken from, be stolen from. Has anyone ever had anything robbed from them in a sense of personal emotions, where you lost a girlfriend or a boyfriend by somebody else or something, or you just lost love from somewhere or what have you, maybe from parents, mother, father, what have you. Has any of us ever been robbed in that way? Okay. So you can see that there are two different places that you can be robbed, right? Okay. Well, there's another place where you can be robbed. Your ambitions, your goals, your dreams. And that's what I want to focus on. I want to focus on your ambitions, your goals, your dreams, your destiny. I want to say your life. Because your life is that. Other than that, what do you got a purpose for living? If you don't have any of those goals in you, if you don't have any of that dream, vision, purpose, you know, what counsel already laid out on you. See, counsel already laid out the spoken word. Counsel in heaven before you were brought on earth has already laid out your destiny. It already put a promise in you. Whether it was sweeping the floors or inventing the light bulb, the promise has been put in you, and that promise is what brings the kingdom of God. That promise is what brings eternal life. That promise is what brings peace and joy and righteousness that surpasses your comprehension, that surpasses your mind, that your thoughts. I mean, how can anybody be happy doing that? But yet, that person that is in that promise is just full of joy, full of peace. You know, you think about the life of Jesus. Now, I'm sure people were like, yo, don't go to, you know, Bethlehem or whatever. You know, who was that? Peter that tried to tell Jesus? And what did Jesus say? You don't have the mind of God. He was basically saying, you don't have the promise inside of you. And to you, it looks crazy to you. But you know what? I got peace. I got joy. I got righteousness. I want us to begin to understand that promise is really everything in you that brings you to who you are. It's your life. It's every bit of you. And to be able to have that and live and not have the enemy or the darkness rob it and steal it and destroy it, how much more could you ask? I mean, please, shut up, Jim. Give me what I need to know so I can move on. You know? And I want to give you what it's going to be to get you into your promise. I hope and pray that some of you haven't missed it and have gone too long. You know, where repentance no longer can take a play. I'm wondering if that's possible or not. But then I look at what the Lord has been saying, what the Spirit of God has been saying. Because there's messages that God says, I turn them over because of a debased mind. Okay? But then there's also an area where there was one hanging on the cross, and we shared this last week, where he says, this day I will see you in paradise. So it was almost like an instance. So I truly believe that because we're learning this knowledge now, okay, I hope and pray that our ears don't grow cold and take the knowledge sincere so that we're instantly restored to that promise. Instantly restored. How many of us want to be instantly restored? Okay. Amen. We don't want to fall into the trap where all of a sudden we're given over to a debased mind and we never reach our promise. And that's possible. So those that are listening, please take my words sincere and not ignore what I'm saying, because you could be turned over a debased mind. And then he'll say, get away from me. I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. Because we refuse to repent. We refuse to receive the word. We refuse to believe. And then pearls are being casted before swine. I want those that are listening and those that are here to take this sincere of what I'm about to say. And you might have already heard this 1,000 times. You might have heard this so many times, you're going to say to yourself, man, I feel like I'm listening to the same message again. But we're not applying it. We're not fighting this fight. It is a fight. You know, the Bible says, and I really believe this book, and this book leads us to a place of eternal life. And it says, fight the good fight. What are we supposed to be fighting? You see? Fight the good fight. And those who overcome, I will grant a seat right next to me. Those who overcome. So obviously there's a fight, amen? Now we don't need to fight so far outside of the world. And that's what we tend to do. We tend to fight all the time in this world, the carnal world. We tend to fight. We tend to labor real hard. We tend to try to reason and try to work out and, you know, get ourselves all worked up. But God will bring us into our destiny. God leads a righteous person's footsteps. So I want you to understand that by us fighting this fight, and I will tell you how to fight it, will bring you into righteousness. And if it's bringing you into righteousness, then who leads? God. We no longer have to be driven. He leads us. How many of us tend to move forward in what we believe we need to do, but we're tired? We're exhausted. We're just at this point of saying, I'm so weary, I got so much to do. Well, you need to hear this message. Because sometimes we go before God. And when we go before God and we begin to lead ourselves in the promise, we go before Him, He hasn't prepared the way for us. We're going to come under a lot of attacks. We have to understand to not be anxious for nothing. How many of us heard that verse before? Don't be anxious for nothing. You know, and that in itself drives me crazy. Because I'm a person that needs to have things done. And I need to have things done like right away when I feel though it came to me. Okay, this has to be done. We got to do it right away. And it was like I didn't let another day go by until I got it done. And I've learned one thing, priority. How many people understand what priority is? So we need to look at priority in our life. What is the most important thing that we need to do now? And then what is the second most important thing we need to do? And kind of prioritize our lives and not neglect anything. And the reason why I say this is because it's going to help you with this battle that I'm going to identify with. Now, I want to let the core of this message be prayer. Because one of the things that we need to do is we need to pray. We need help. How many of us need help? Okay. Now, the only real help is going to come from above. You're going to get help on earth. Okay? But don't count on earth. Earth is not going to help you. And what I mean by that is you might be leaning on certain individuals or depending on certain individuals, but God is going to help you. And He'll bring heaven through you or another individual. Or even the same person that you're asking for help from. But there'll be a supernatural power that will fall on them and they will be endured with power to help. So don't get discouraged. Don't get your heart heavy. Understand prayer. That God is for you and not against you. God will never leave you nor forsake you. And there's a part in Scripture where Jesus fell into a place of some severe pain during his prayer. And I'll read that. And he got to the point of sweating blood, where he was in some heavy-duty prayer. But did he have to pray that hard? I think something was making him sweat blood. I think he was under severe attacks. Has anyone ever gotten to a point where they felt so desperate? To the point where you were like really severely lost and you severely needed help? And you were at wit's end? Well, I look at Jesus at that point on the cross when he started sweating blood. Where he was in the garden before he went to the cross and he was in prayer and he was sweating blood. I don't truly believe that he had to come to that place of sweating blood. I just believe he was under a tremendous attack that caused him to sweat blood. Now I'm going to share something here. The disciples came to Jesus and he said, I'm going to read in Luke chapter 11 verse 1. It says, "Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us how to pray as John also taught his disciples.' So he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth, as it is in heaven.'" Okay, now that right there in itself will start showing you that your promise has already been ordained by heaven. And he is just trying to acknowledge that I have a promise in my heart that I'm following heaven, and I want heaven to be on earth. I want this promise to manifest on earth. He began to start showing the disciples the greatness and the power of God by giving them all the glory and honor and praise. And this is something that we need to truly put in our heart. We can't do nothing without him. We can't do nothing without God. We can't. If we think we can, we're foolish. We're fooling ourselves. And we need him to do everything in our lives to fulfill the promise that's inside of us. And then it says, give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. So one of the things that we need to look at is so-called our sin. Okay, I believe we're forgiven as we forgive those. And so we need to just release ourselves from this world and forgive everyone who persecuted us. Forgive everyone who doesn't do what we think they should be doing. I mean, just forgive. Just like let it all go. I think this is part of what robs us from our promise. We harbor too much unforgiveness. We harbor too much like somebody hurt us and we deserve something better than that. We got to start letting go and forgive. How many of us tend to harbor unforgiveness? Come on, let's be real. There are many people who have treated us wrong. And it's everybody. If there is somebody that is listening that said, oh no, I was never treated wrong. I was always treated great. Well, then I would have to say that they're a liar. And then if they say, oh no, and believe me, I'm not bothered by it. Then I'm going to have to again tell them they're a liar. I'm going to say, you're just nothing but a lying mess. You're a hot lying mess. The fact is we are natural people who have been born in a sin world, and we are going to harbor anger. We're going to have people that are going to come against us and treat us rude and not in love, and we're going to be really, really mad at them. We're not going to like them, and we're even going to be angry at them. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing. You have every right to feel that way. Get as mad as you possibly can at that person who treated you wrong at that second. But don't go any further than the second. You have every right to be angry at that person who treated you wrong. You have every right to be mad, upset, bothered, troubled, the whole nine yards for 1 second and 1 second only, and that's it. If you go any further than that, now you're under an attack. Now you have just given the legal rights for darkness to start destroying your life. You got to let that anger, that resentment, that hatred, that whole nine yards that you have legal right to be feeling that way. Because if you didn't feel that way, I would say you're not human. I would say that you're not real. You're delusional. You're sick. Something's wrong with you. You have every right to feel that way. You have every right to feel upset. What robs us is when we extend that and we never forgive. You see? These offenses will come. These offenses must come. And believe me, there's a whole reason behind why God does what he does, because he's creating character in you. But let's not go where God is creating character in you. Let's go where the enemy has rights to attack you, where the enemy has rights to steal from you. How many of us know that story about Job? Job, okay? He had some issues, he had some problems, and Satan came to him and said, hey, let me go get him now. I got rights. Okay, who's to say that he wasn't harboring unforgiveness about things or what have you? Or maybe his righteousness exceeded himself and he became very pride. And whatever the bottom line was, Satan had legal rights to go to God and said, all right, now it's time. I got a paper here saying I can kill him. You know, I can come against him. And God said, you know what? You can go attack him, but do me one thing. Just don't kill him. And then when Job finally changed the way he was thinking, what happened? Everything else was restored. His whole promise was restored. Not only was his promise restored, but then he was rewarded and he got over above his promise. That's what I want to bring us to. I want to bring us to a place where not only our promises are restored, but we get over and above our promises. It's like double blessing, you know, 100-fold. I want that. How many people want that? That's what I'm talking about. Okay, now, there's a part here that says, and do not lead us into temptation. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This should be a core of our prayer. This should be the core of our prayer, knowing that we're subject to temptation. Now, one thing that I will say, there is never more temptation than you can handle. God will never lead you into more of a temptation than you can handle. How many people have read that before in the scripture book? Okay, if you haven't, this book here says that he will never lead you into more temptation than you can handle. Okay, he'll never do that. So we can't say that it was just overwhelming or too much and we couldn't deal with it and we gave in. Okay, we're all subject to have power to resist temptation. But what we're lacking is asking the Father. Prayer. And I'm sharing this because prayer should be almost like a second language to us. We should have that relationship with our Heavenly Father to the point where we're constantly praying. Because we're all subject to be tripped up. We're all subject to be tempted. There's another verse that I want to share here. And it's in Luke chapter 22, verse 40. It says, when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. So there again, he said, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw away, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. As he began to pray, he began to surrender to the issue. And this is something that we have to learn how to do. What brings us to prayer first? Usually, we're not happy about what's happening. Usually, we're upset. Usually, we're at a place where something is not going the way we would like to, or something is unsure of. Amen? Wouldn't you figure that one out, right? Wouldn't you say yes on that? Okay. We should come to prayer just because we want to come to prayer, but most of us, I know even myself, come to prayer when things just don't seem right. Well, we need to learn how to surrender to the situation. We got to lose control. We got to let it go. It doesn't mean that we don't speak up. It doesn't mean that we don't make an effort to, you know, try to move forward. It doesn't mean that we don't make, you know, an attempt to correct issues or problems. But in our heart, we got to come to a place of knowing, not my will, but your will be done. Anything could possibly happen. And we have to yield to it. We have to let it happen and hope that it doesn't happen against your favor, but it happens with your favor. How many people are understanding what I'm saying? Okay. So there's a place where you just really yield to the fact that you're not in control and God is. I'll make it real simple. Then it says here, when he began to pray this, when he came to that place of yielding, when he came to that place of surrender, then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. That's what we need. We don't need anything else but strength. What causes us to flip out and get weary and break down and lose hope is no strength. How many times have we come to a place where we just throw our hands up and we surrender? Because we were beaten up. We were at a point of just giving in. And sometimes when we just throw our hands up and we don't have any more strength, we don't pick ourselves back up. We just tend to forget about it altogether and walk away. We just tend to say, well, I guess this isn't the will of God. Well, maybe we just never really prayed. It was the will of God from the very beginning when you said yes. I know within my own life sometimes I get second guessing on things. You know, you get really beat up and you get heavy and you look at the natural and you start saying, no way. And you throw your hands up and say, well, you know what? And then I pray. And I pray. I start looking at my responsibilities and I start delegating and saying, what are my, what was that word I used before? My priorities, that's right. Thank you. And I look at my priorities. And the number one priority in my life is prayer. Because I can't do anything without Him. I can't do anything without Him. Everything now in my whole entire life is with Him. And if He's not going with me, then I'm not going. It's like, you know, Lord, You need to be with me. And I believe that's where our success comes from. When we end up putting that place of saying, I'm not going to walk through this life anymore alone. I'm going to walk through the shadows of the valley of death and fear no evil. Now I'm going to elaborate more on this message again. Because I didn't tell you about how to fight the attacks. How to avoid temptation. But I did tell you the importance of walking with God. And how we pray all the time. Father, if it's not Your will, take it away. If it is Your will, let me surrender to it. Let me stop fighting it. Let me just take it. Let me go. Let me go with the flow. Let me just lay my life down and humble myself and stop fighting. It's a promise. And sometimes we have to renew our minds and renew our hearts that there's a promise in You. There's a promise in You, and that promise is Your anointing. That promise is Your unction. That promise is Your dreams. That promise is of Your wants and desires. What do You want? That's Your promise. What is actually going to satisfy your thirst? And what is going to satisfy your hunger? It's Your promise. What brings life? Your promise. And a lot of us may have many different promises. Some of us might just be totally lost and we have no promise. God will give you a promise if you ask. If we will humble ourselves and call upon the name of the Lord, He will lift us up. He will put new life in us. You know, some of us might need to be born again and again and again. There are times where we've met the Lord and we became born again, but we had no real shepherd, no real pastor to lead us through the valley of death. Because I'm going to tell you right now, life is nothing but a valley of death. But we need to be led through the valley of death and come to a place of fearing no evil. And that evil, I'll explain next week or Wednesday or whatever. Stay tuned. But I want to just finish this service for now with about prayer. And I want us to be able to just bow our heads for a moment. I want you to know that that God says that I never left you. I've always been there. He's saying, you left me. You left me. God is saying, I want you to lean on me more. I want you to pray. I want you to ask me. I'll be there for you. I will send my angels before me. They will work out things. I'll command them. And they'll do those things that I need them to do. But ask. You ask, but you ask with a miss. Your name is great, and your heart. Open your heart. And begin to believe and know that I'm there to help you. When things get tough, resist the temptation and come to me. Let me be your first priority. Let everything else wait. And those who wait upon the Lord will mount up with wings like an eagle. I'm God. I created the heavens and the earth. I created your purpose. I'm faithful and just to fill it. But I need you to know who I am. I need you. To be my child. Many are called, but few are chosen. And those that are chosen are those that come to me. I'm going to pray to the Father, and I want all of us to come into an agreement. If you want these battles to stop in your life, agree with me. Father, I ask that you forgive us. Forgive us based on our lack of understanding, lack of knowledge. Forgive us. Let us start afresh and anew. And I hear the Lord say, because you ask for forgiveness, I am faithful and just to forgive. And he doesn't hold anything against us at this point, moving forward. We are renewed as that one that was hanging on the cross this day, because you humbled yourself. This day, I will see you in paradise. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. I'd like to, and it's not by accident, I'd like to ask Sean if